What separates the 10% of startups that succeed from the 90% that fail? It's not just luck or timing. It's following battle-tested wisdom from those who assembled the airplane on the way down. The entrepreneurial journey isn't about incremental improvements, but creating something transformative. As Reid Hoffman describes it, founding a startup means jumping off a cliff and building your wings during freefall. This path has become the new American dream, not homeownership, but company creation. The most successful founders don't just build businesses, they create entirely new categories and reshape industries. They combine contrarian thinking with brutal intellectual honesty, knowing when to persist and when to pivot. Contrary to conventional wisdom, great companies begin with personal passion, not market analysis. The most successful founders start with their unique strengths and obsessions, then find markets where these create advantage. Sarah Blakely didn't launch Spanx after market research. She cut the feet off her pantyhose to solve her own problem. She protected this infant idea from premature criticism for a year while developing it. This journey from fax machine saleswoman to billionaire shows how personal pain points lead to revolutionary products. Successful entrepreneurs embrace contrarian thinking, pursuing ideas others dismiss as impossible. When LinkedIn launched in 2002, nearly everyone told Hoffman he was crazy to build a new network product from scratch. Yet he recognized digital professional connections would become vital. As Steve Jobs demonstrated by following his calligraphy interests, which later influenced Apple's revolutionary typography, seemingly unrelated passions often become competitive advantages. The key difference between vitamins and painkillers is that vitamins are optional nice-to-haves, while painkillers solve urgent needs. Charles Best created DonorsChoose.org after seeing teachers spending personal money on supplies while donors lacked ways to help. Starting with Best anonymously funding 11 projects himself, the platform has now channeled over $1.3 billion to classrooms by directly connecting teachers with donors. Cyrus Masumi founded ZocDoc after spending 4 frustrating days finding a doctor for a ruptured eardrum despite having good insurance. His platform became a comprehensive booking system that includes insurance information, addressing pain points for both patients seeking appointments and medical practices with unfilled slots. As Jay Walker notes, most people won't admit to having a problem until presented with a solution. Success requires creating solutions dramatically better than existing options. Ben Horowitz maintains products must be at least 10 times better than existing solutions to overcome resistance to change. Elon Musk exemplifies this approach. Tesla didn't just build an electric car, but reimagined the automotive experience, while SpaceX aims to reduce launch costs by 100x through reusable rockets. Peter Thiel's advice to build monopolies focuses on creating compelling value that naturally attracts customers. While small businesses highlight their competitiveness, major tech companies privately leverage their unique platforms while publicly downplaying monopolistic advantages. As Ben Horowitz notes, bad markets always beat good teams. Even exceptional teams struggle in oversaturated markets. LinkedIn exemplifies this approach through professional networking. Reid Hoffman identified unique market characteristics, professional identity stability, fewer but more valuable connections, and strong network effects competitors couldn't easily replicate. Similarly, Robin Chase designed Zipcar's model around network effects, where each new member and vehicle increased value for existing users, creating a self-reinforcing advantage. Success comes from execution. Kevin Ryan notes that while multiple teams often pursue similar ideas, gaining an early lead through superior execution is crucial. This begins with strategic partnerships. Linda Rottenberg emphasizes finding partners who provide honest feedback, likening ideal partnerships to sibling relationships. The Diamonds of SkipHop demonstrate this through complementary roles. Michael manages operations while Ellen focuses on design. This 10x better philosophy extends beyond product features to customer experience. Tony Hsieh built Zappos around extraordinary service, free shipping both ways, 365-day returns, and surprise overnight upgrades. Call center representatives could spend unlimited time with customers and weren't measured by traditional metrics. When Hsieh relocated from San Francisco to Las Vegas, 70 of 90 employees followed, demonstrating extraordinary commitment to his vision. This culture of extreme service created such strong loyalty that Amazon acquired the company for $1.2 billion. The entrepreneurs who achieved this differentiation question fundamental industry assumptions and reimagine entire business models. Execution excellence also requires brutal prioritization. Stephen Messer recommends categorizing priorities as air, water, and food rather than high, medium, and low. You can survive minutes without air, days without water, and weeks without food. This framework determines what truly needs immediate attention versus what can wait. For Jim McCann of 1-800-Flowers, execution means focusing on what's important amid constant demands. The key is determining what truly matters and tolerating imperfection elsewhere. Beyond products and markets, successful companies are fundamentally about people, starting with culture. Tony Hsieh built Zappos around 10 core values, with the most profound being simply, be humble. As he explains, businesses often fail when they lose their sense of humility. People start believing their own press releases and feeling they can do no wrong. This humility must balance with confidence. Scott Harrison transformed Charity Water by bringing design excellence to nonprofit work. Rather than apologizing for investing in brand quality, he created an epic brand with striking visuals that attracted supporters who might otherwise ignore traditional charities. Successful cultures balance optimism with realism. Matt Blumberg recommends including both optimists and pessimists on management teams, as CEOs must simultaneously be the most optimistic and pessimistic person in the company. Culture extends to handling failure. Sarah Blakely redefines failure as not trying rather than a poor outcome. Jose Rahman notes that if failures don't kill you, they give you valuable experience of getting kicked in the teeth. Remember what that tasted like and use it to inform your next decision. Perhaps most importantly, culture must be intentionally designed rather than left to chance. Jeffrey Hollander learned this at Seventh Generation. Despite the company's environmental reputation, he failed to institutionalize values in corporate structure, eventually leading to his dismissal. The masters focus on long-term success over quick exits. Steve Case exemplified this by building America Online when only 3% of Americans were online, persisting through 3 rounds of layoffs before achieving massive success. Capital management reflects this mindset too. Robin Chase ran Zipcar from home on personal credit cards, while Adeo Resi advocates starving the company until you prove it can live. True sustainability trumps vanity metrics. Chris Dixon emphasizes active users over download counts, while Seth Goldman built Honest Tea on organic sourcing principles that initially limited growth but attracted Coca-Cola while preserving values. As Hossein Rahman notes, yesterday's home run didn't win today's game. Ultimate success means creating companies that outlast their founders, with self-sustaining systems that drive lasting change.